Hey everybody, Josh Sigurdsson of World Alternative Media here, and we are joined by David Morgan. You could check his stuff out at The Morgan Report, and there's so much to go into because obviously you are really deep in the silver market, and you have a lot of wisdom about this, and we've talked about it many times, but you're also very awake to the things that are happening around us, from inflation to the coming technocracy, cash society kind of stuff. I wanted to start off by asking you a little bit about the current situation with the Federal Reserve. They're doing everything, it seems, to collapse the dollar. Everything that they claim that they're doing to save the dollar appears to be making the problem worse. We're seeing jobs lost across the board. We're seeing inflation continue to rise. And then they brag when it stops rising by as much for like 1 month. Meanwhile, they have the Inflation Reduction Act, which actually adds inflation. It's the most insane. We're living in the Twilight Zone. I wanted to hear your thoughts on the latest moves by the Fed with interest rates and the move forward for the dollar, because it looks like we are coming to the end of a world reserve currency here.
Josh, thank you. And I do agree that we are coming to the end. I want to separate two things. I want to separate the economy from the financial system. So the economy is degrading rapidly around the world. And part of it, if not a lot of it, is deliberate. You know, the food issue is induced for a variety of reasons, and you know, there's so many vectors, you know, fertilizer situation and all that. But on the financial side, it basically comes to what we call money, currency, and the U.S. has held the pole position for a long time. My take on it is that, yes, they know it's going down, but they're going to keep it the best shirt in the hamper until they break the system. And how do you break the system? Well, you break the system, either you overinflate where the currency is worthless, or you break the system where the currency actually becomes more valuable again, which is highly unlikely. So what is the alternative? And that's a new system. So my contention is that they're going to keep raising interest rates till either the system breaks and or they go into the new system. Now, if you listen to Kent Lewis speak yesterday before I did, the new system electronically has already been implemented the 2nd of November, and we're in mid-month right now. So I do believe that they, the banking elite, want a new system, and it will be a cashless system, and it will be based on, oh my goodness, look what happened to the reserve currency of the world, the dollar's failing us all. Oh ho ho, sorry America, you just got half your purchasing power cut in the last 2 months, or whatever, however it turns out. But we have something better for you. Anyone that's on welfare or has got Medicare, Medicaid, you get a UBI. In fact, it's so good that you're gonna get an extra 1,000 units and get into our system. In fact, there's, you know, so they'll sweeten the deal. A lot of people will do it for one, they don't know any better, and two, they don't think they have an alternative. So will it go exactly that way? Probably not. But I think that's a good trend analysis of where we're headed.
So for years, I always assumed that they'd probably do something with the IMF's special drawing rights, use the basket of currencies as possibly a cashless system to replace the dollar with a whole bunch of different currencies around the world. Now, the more I look into it, the more it appears that BRICS really is the big move for these globalists. For example, we have China, Russia, India. India is historically an enemy of China, yet they are working together with them on BRICS. We have Saudi Arabia, according to the South African government, which is part of BRICS as well, of course, saying that they will likely leave the dollar and join the BRICS system. That would be the nail in the coffin for the dollar if Saudi Arabia decides we're not using dollars anymore. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on the move towards BRICS. And do you think it could be possible we'd see a cashless BRICS currency, or is that what they're trying to do? Could they possibly achieve it?
Yeah, great question, and I try not to rule out any possibility. So on BRICS and looking deep into it, and it doesn't make me right, but to the best of my ability, the person that came up with the BRICS idea came from Goldman Sachs. And if you go deep into what Kent talked about and I talked about here at Red Pill yesterday, is it looks to me that it could be a situation where everything that you outlined comes to fruition. And there's this big push of, oh, there's the anti-dollar in India, China, South Africa, perhaps the Middle East, is kind of shielded from what happens to the dollar. However, and that could be, in the long game, they meld together because the BRICS are already signed into this ISO 20, I think it's 20022, something like that, which is the new system on a global basis. So I think it's problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic, dollar, BRICS, solution. So I think that's where it's headed.
And, you know, the government seems to do everything via the Hegelian dialectic. They create a problem, they get the reaction, they come in as a solution, usually because people don't understand what's happening to them. They feel desperate, they feel they're dependent. We've seen the whole culture of the United States, Canada, Britain, Europe fall into this era of weakness and dependency because they've been, you know, tyranny comes under the guise of convenience always. So I wanted to kind of go into, with the recent collapse of, well, semi-collapse of the supply chain, the energy crisis worldwide, which is clearly being exacerbated by the governments. No one does this by accident. It's so over, you'd have to be the stupidest person in the world to continuously put in climate policies while there's an energy crisis, while there's a fuel shortage. And it makes me feel as though we are witnessing the beginning of that technocracy that they've spoken about at the Trilateral Commission for so many years, that they've been priming us for so long. And that is, say we have a BRICS world reserve currency system that's cashless, and you have a food crisis, and you have an energy crisis. Imagine, if you will, that they come in and say, okay, well, here's your cashless system. You don't own your money. It's in the bank always, and you never get to hold it in your hands. You have to have, say, a smart meter on, and now I'm getting into the conspiratorial side here. You have to put a smart meter on your house that tells the government how much electricity, water, and gas you're using, which determines a carbon credit score. And then with that, they decide how much food rations you can get. It seems like the perfect system. I almost don't want to say it on video because I feel like they could just watch and do this, and I feel like it's probably going to happen. We have COP27 that just happened, and John Kerry basically alluded to this as a possible solution. And by solution, I mean, like you said, Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, repeat. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on the overall, you know, control of the masses via a cashless society and how dangerous that could get going forward due to, obviously we saw in 2020 and 2021 how compliant people were with all those things. It just seems like a litmus test at this point. What do you think?
Well, I listened to your interview with the great G. Edward Griffin, and he would say on a couple of your questions, yeah, you've already outlined it very well. You have. I'll just add a little bit. Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. I think we are going cashless. I do believe that they want to control everything we think, do, and say. I do think that the IoT, the Internet of Things, is 5G, and I think 6G is IOB, Internet of Bodies. Believe it or not, audience, the ability to put in a system through a medical procedure to resonate at a certain frequency and adapt to a, let's say, AI, for lack of better terminology, is in the works. And because of that, that IOB, the Internet of Bodies, think about it, as the Schwab said, you know, it changes you. Well, it does change you. And it's going to be a very, very technocratic society. It's not left, it's not right, it's not communism, it's not democracy, it's technocracy.
It seems like the best solution to get rid of humanity, you don't just kill them, you destroy them from within, and you take over all their conveniences and basically allocate them freedom based on that. And you are absolutely brilliant when it comes to silver, and I wanted to hear your thoughts. What happens to silver in a cashless society? Could we see FDR-type initiatives push forward? Could we see a crackdown on things like silver and gold?
Well, again, I seldom rule out all possibilities. I mean, I digress for a second, but as an engineer, when you look at some kind of a function, you go from zero to infinity. And I'm trained to think that way, from nothing to everything. And so you covered it all. I think that silver is very much needed. And I have a reverse thinking, and I'm very studying the subject, but also very biased. But if you needed silver for the war effort, or you needed silver for a technological breakthrough, or you needed it for more solar panels, what could happen is different than most people think. They could say, look, if you have silver, we will buy it at the current spot price plus $5, and it's going to be tax exempt. But you only have 30 days to get it to us because we need it for the fill in the blank, the war effort, solar panels, medicine, the med bed, whatever, right? So I've thought about that and deeply thought about it, and I think that would be more likely, you know, if they were going to consult with me. Not that they would, but how do we get the silver? Well, think about it. Use some common sense. Give them more. Make them tax exempt. Give them a reason to sell it, because most people that own silver are very savvy to the big picture. They may not know every detail. I don't. You don't. But we got a pretty clear idea of what the trends are, and we can see where this is going. It's complete control, cashless system, ruled by technocrats, and they've got computers to track us all. And, you know, to the minutest level, I mean, you know, what your internal organs are doing, what your heart rate is, how your heart rate variability is, what gets you excited, what makes you sad. I mean, think about how much control they potentially have. They could set you up and say, well, Josh needs, I'll make up a number, 1,400 calories to exist, but we could set his brain where he's not hungry and feed him 1,200 until we just have to inject him with Soylent Green to keep him going. You know, I mean, it's insane when you think about it. I'm letting my mind get carried away. I was making the point. Don't rule out how evil the evil is. I made that mistake. I don't want anyone in our audience to make that mistake.
Hey guys, we will get right back to the interview. But before we do, if you like what David Morgan is saying, he is, of course, one of the most knowledgeable people in the financial world. I urge you to go to the morganreport.com link in the description. It'll give you some deals and you can sign up for membership. He does amazing work, and I urge people to get on board and keep learning as we go down this incredible rabbit hole. You won't find anyone more honest in this field talking about the things that affect you most. There are many different types of membership tiers, everything from $50 annual to the big package of $2,500 annual for the Mastermind membership. So check that link in the description, sign up now, and I don't believe you'll regret it. And also, one more thing before we get back to the interview, make sure to check the links below for heavensharvest.com. Get long-term storable food that's non-GMO, heirloom seeds, water filtration and storage, books on how to get started. Use code WAM, W-A-M, and you get free shipping in the United States on most of these products. And even if you're not in the United States, I still urge you to use code WAM because it helps keep you alive and us alive at the same time. And of course, keep in mind that you're actually saving money on this. People say 72 serving entree kit for $184. Yes, well, imagine how much money you would usually spend on 72 servings. Or the 3-month combo kit, which is a bare minimum that people are recommended to have over an apocalyptic situation like a supply chain collapse. I urge you to go and check that out. $2,375.91 for a 3-month combo kit is not as much as it sounds. It's just that you're paying it all at once, so it seems like it's a lot of money. But overall, you're actually saving money on food as the currency collapses and as the value of food skyrockets. I urge you, take that step today, not tomorrow, for yourself, for your family, for your friends, for the future of humanity in this great reset. We must stand up now, and this is the number one way to do it. So check out heavensharvest.com, use code WAM, and also check out the link in the description for the Morgan Report. All right, let's get back to the interview. Right. So I, in kindergarten, was in the last class in Canada that still had typewriters. And going forward from there, we got the computers. And I can't believe the kind of world that I'm living in. I mean, I can believe it, but I don't want to believe it, you know? And you've been around for a while. So I have to ask, what's it like being in a sci-fi movie?
You know, that's such a great question, because honestly, and I've said this to several friends and probably said it in the public before, but even, not that I'm anything, but I have got some age. And every other week or every week, I have to pinch myself and say, I'm living in a sci-fi movie. This cannot be real. They cannot steal an election in front of our faces like this, but they did. They can't, you know, and all this stuff that just, in your imagination, would never take place. I mean, to think that you put a face diaper on the entire planet, and every government, all these governments, they're against each other. Well, there's BRICS, and there's America. There's, well, all the governments, save a few, I think all of them were black, and they all died because they didn't want to go along with the governmental edict of putting on face diapers and doing other stuff. So that shows you, I think it's a clear demonstration. These governments, well, they're in collusion, you know, and then like in 1984, Orwell points out that they have to have a constant war, very ill-defined, and that all the governments had to pretend to be against each other, but they all were in collusion.
Yeah, it became pretty clear when you see the president of Haiti get killed, and there's, for some reason, white people in the building right before it happens that were American. You know, Tanzania is a great example, Magufuli. And then, you know, there's so many other examples around the world. Madagascar, there was an attempt, he survived somehow. And, oh my goodness, like Uganda, I think there's, like you mentioned, mostly black. And it really goes to show when people say, well, all these governments hate each other. Really? Really? So they all, at the same time, implement the exact same rules, word for word, in their legislation. It makes you wonder how much cognitive dissonance someone can have when it's right in front of them, all these things are happening, the conspiracy theorists were right all along, and now it's all coming out about Pfizer, about the masks, about all that. Even Saturday Night Live is joking about, you know, we were lied to about the vaccines, we were lied to about masks. If Saturday Night Live saying that, you know, we are obviously past that point, yet you still see people wander around in masks, and they still don't question the government. It is really, really frightening. But I do want to get to one of the solutions here, because again, I really do think that silver is one of those things that could really help people ensure their wealth versus what is coming. And of course, I've never looked at silver and gold as an investment personally. I've always seen it as wealth insurance. The banks look at it as an investment when they try to spoof it. However, at the end of the day, this is something that could save your value, your purchasing power from a complete collapse, one of the most historic in all human history. Yeah, so can you go into where you see silver as a solution over the next few years? Because I feel like it's going to come into the lexicon a lot more over the next little while.
Well, there's several thoughts. One is, in a worst case scenario, barter. And that's why constitutional silver is so popular among maybe, I don't know, want to call it the prepper types or whatever. That's fine. You know, in Canada, you guys did the Roman thing. And I don't remember. And I'm a silver expert, but I know the idea. But it was like a 90% silver. It's 80%. And then you went to 70%. I forgot where it ended. But there was silver coinage throughout the world. It was a silver standard worldwide at one time. Point being is, I think it worked best, or not best, but it would work in barter as a last resort. Barring that type of a scenario, it's needed in technology. 55% of the market's required by technology, or by industrial use, we'll call it. That's only increasing. In fact, the projection is by 2030, 100% of the projected market will be basically for industry, which means no silver jewelry, means no silverware, and it means no silver investment. Well, that's not going to happen either, because, you know, if you're the ring you gave your girlfriend was $100 and now it's $1,000 or whatever, but the perceived value goes up, people will covet it more rather than less, especially as the currency crisis unfolds. So I think the best strategy is to have some, maybe not too much. You know, when you win a bet, you never ever have bought enough. You know, when you bet $2 on that 30-to-1 racehorse and it comes in, you get $60. Why did I put down 20? You know, that's the human nature. But in a rational mind, you need, I would say everybody needs some. And that's impossible. In fact, I look at one of the tables down here, and why you should own silver. And of course, you know, I never said I know it. I always like to see what other people are writing. And I know pretty much off the bat if it's right or wrong. But he wrote in this that in silver, only every person on the planet could only own 1/14 of an ounce. I didn't do the math. But the point being, in gold, just about everyone could own 3/4 of an ounce. So.
Well, talking about collusion of governments, I just thought of something when you mentioned what Canada did and the United States. It's interesting. It was, I believe, one country stopped using silver in their coins in 1965. The other one stopped in 1966. If I'm not correct, I might be 1 year off on that. And it just goes to show that at the same time, they realize, governments of the world know how much value is in silver and gold. They wouldn't have killed Gaddafi and killed Saddam Hussein and all that kind of stuff if they didn't. And many of you probably know what I'm talking about. And the point is, if it's that much of a threat to them, then that's what we should be doing. I mean, it's like if there's...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, you get me my passion button, you just hit it. I mean, if we could get enough people educated to buy silver, we would have the money power. Mm-hmm. It's more powerful than gold. Why? One, it's not in their hands, so most central banks own most of the gold. So it's a 50-50 split, basically. The banks own half the gold, and individuals and entities own the other half. Yeah. Silver, the banks own practically zero, outside the bullion banks that control it to the nth degree through the paper markets. But as far as, you know, a monetary asset, no. It's a strategic survival asset to them, in my opinion. So, yeah, if we were able to garnish enough momentum into the silver market and the people hold it, we definitely have the power, because they would need it to progress in there, especially where they're pushing us, into this IoT and IOB. You need silver. You don't need silver in your body, although that could be true, I don't know. But you do need, you know, graphene oxide and these nanotubules and all the other crap that they're doing. But silver is key to move electrons around, and when you do that, you're talking about wireless technology, and you need silver. So there's that aspect. But I think your thinking is really correct, that we can't imagine how far it's going to go, because we couldn't imagine a few years back we'd all be wearing a face diaper and all so we have to keep that in mind. Yeah. You know, we have to stay open-minded, like, oh, well, that's impossible. Well, if I told you about the CV situation, you said, come on, you've lost all credibility with me, David. Yeah. You've lost, I really respected you, but now I don't believe a damn word you said. You know, and that's how people are. It's an all or nothing. No, we're all a variable. We're all a plethora of different things. I might be 80% right, which is probably above average. I never said I was 100% right. No one is. But to take the trends that we've talked about, Josh, and say 2 years it's going to be on that same trend line, think again. It's going to be different, and it could be even more bizarre than the thoughts that we have shared.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just out of comfort don't want to believe what we're walking into, but it's a war on humanity. These people are anti-human in every sense of the word, and they will try to take us down in as many ways as humanly possible. And when I say they, I'll repeat what Ernest Hancock always said: they, them, those who shalt not be, the bankers, the politicians, the business owners, etc., etc., etc. And if you just study what they believe spiritually, it becomes pretty obvious. It becomes pretty obvious what kind of agenda they have going forward, and we see it in plain sight. And if people still don't want to accept it, that's on them. We need to protect ourselves, though. And if there's a war on humanity, the solution is to be more human, be more empathetic, be more individually responsible, sustainable, all these things. And one of the great ways to do that is, I believe, by having precious metals in your hands. By the way, I think that's the most important part. Don't go to some financial planner and keep it in some IRA or something. In my opinion, I think it should be in your hand. People can do whatever they want. But as we close this off, can you tell people about your work and how they can find your work, how they can get involved and support the work you do?
Sure. So my main website is themorganreport.com. I do a ton for free, as you know. The best thing to do is go to the blog. And on the blog, I post most of my interviews that are public. And I also have the icons for my Twitter feed, my LinkedIn, there's some Facebook presence, not much, and there's one more with the YouTube channel. So you can get to all those. All those are free, and I publish a free newsletter, and that comes out about 3 times a week. I'm also on Substack. You can just type in the Morgan Report in Substack and find that, and probably other places. I've probably done, I don't know, 1,000+ interviews by this time, and I don't know how many pages I've written, but not that. You know, it's out there, you know, and the flaws are there, the warts are there, and the missed calls are there, and all that, and that's okay. I'll live with that. I think the main function of someone like me is to tell the truth far and wide, to power, and when you're wrong, admit it, you know. And I think people resonate with that. You know, there's people, I've never been a perma bull, you know. I've called the top in silver 3 times, and I'm very anticipative of the next one, because I want to get it right, and not for ego, just to help others, you know. And do we trade silver for fiat at the top? I mean, that's the biggest question. Would you? I mean, would you trade $150 for an ounce of silver, knowing that it's gone from 100 to 150 in a week and a half? And now,
well, I've done similar to that before, but yeah, I mean, we all make mistakes.
but then say the fiat's worthless the next day. Now you got a pile of green. It's 10 times what you paid for this real wealth. Now you've traded that real wealth for paper. For what reason? And I have an idea about that, and that is, when you make it, either make direct silver to land, silver to a house, silver to a business, silver to a book deal, whatever, or when it hits fiat, make sure it's there for 12 milliseconds, because that fiat is used for a land deal or a house deal or a business deal. So that's how I see it.
Well, every time I talk to people about silver, basically every time I hear your name brought up, and it's you know, a testament to the good work that you're doing. And I urge people watching to check those links below. We have a link to his report, to his website, in the description, and you can find more of him. And as always, it's always great talking to you. I hope we talk again sometime soon.
Josh, always fun. Thank you so much. Yeah.